3. If you're visiting with us today, we appreciate you being here. We're glad to have you. I know we have some visitors here. Of course, we have the Easter crowd, like Jeff and Michelle Haynes. They show up every holiday, whether they're invited or not. But it's good to have them with us and others. This is the sermon y'all been dreading, but you needed to have come. It's the CrossFit sermon. I know y'all wondered when it was going to show up in a sermon, and today is the day. So strap on, because it's going to be a bad one. Okay. One of the things I love about CrossFit, it's one of the neatest things about it, is in CrossFit, for those of you who don't know, you do a workout of the day. We call them WODs. Okay. So we always talk in CrossFit about, okay, what's the WOD today? What's the workout of the day? The amazing thing, and whether it's a written rule or an unwritten rule, it's generally known among CrossFitters, is you always complete the WOD. So no matter what the workout is, in CrossFit, you scale. In other words, if it says pick up 50 pounds over your head and you can only pick up 10 pounds, then you scale and you pick up 10 pounds. But if it says you have to do it 25 times, then you stay there until you do it 25 times. And for me, that's one of the great things about it, is you go in there and no matter what it is, you've got to finish it and you've got to complete it. Now, I can tell you, I don't know how many times, maybe y'all weren't like this, but that I walked into a gym and I said, man, I'm going to have me a tough workout today. I'm going to run 5 miles. I'm going to lift, do 30 sets of bench. I'm going to do all this. And I get in there and I start running. And I'm about a quarter of a mile. And suddenly my leg starts to hurt. And I go, man, you know what? That was insane. Nobody would do that kind of workout that I was going to do. Daryl, you're 50-something years old. That's crazy. Plus, you've got somewhere you need to be, and your leg's hurting anyway. Let's just run a half a mile today, and we'll do one set of bench press, and we'll just leave out the pull-ups. And so, and I don't know, again, maybe you've never done that, but I had these great intentions going into the gym when I used to just go work out. And I would never push myself to complete what I thought when I was at full rest and anticipating the workout, what I thought I could do. What CrossFit does is it makes you finish the workout. So it doesn't matter how bad your leg hurts. It doesn't matter. Now, look, if you're injured and can't complete it, that's one thing. But the whole idea is you can't make up an excuse why you're not going to finish what you started. You know, like, well, Venus is in a bad place with the moon today. I can't finish the workout. No, you can't do that. And so there is this pressure, I guess you'd call it, this commitment that you make, that when you enter into a workout, you're going to finish the workout. And I look at myself, and what that reflects in my life is there's just a lot of things in my life that when they get hard, I want to quit. And that's why I have to do CrossFit, because I won't do it on my own. I won't go to the gym and push myself like I want to be pushed, like I need to be pushed to be healthy and to attain the gains and to do the things that I want to be able to do. I won't do it. So the pressure, the impetus is you're going to go in there and you're going to do workout. Well, some of the workouts, I'm just going to tell you, are brutal. And we just did one of those this past week. We're in the middle of what CrossFit calls the Open, where everybody in the world who does CrossFit can enter into this competition, and the people who regulate CrossFit, they establish the workouts, do one workout a week for 5 weeks. We just did the last workout this last week, and it was crazy. I'll just tell you, it was insane. I would never, ever, ever on my own do that workout. And so as I was talking to, so what's cool about CrossFit too is, of course, my two sons are kind of CrossFit coaches, so Caleb and Zachariah do it, so we talk, and Missy does it, and we commiserate with each other. So Caleb calls yesterday, and we had done the workout on Friday. He had done it. Zachariah had done it. We'd all sent our times in, and we were talking about how bad it was. And Caleb said this, and it really made me think. And Caleb said, when I did that WOD, he said, my mind went to a really dark place. And I'm like, wow, that's scary. And he said, I just wanted to quit. Now, I'm telling you, Caleb's in pretty good shape. He's, top 15% of all CrossFit athletes, probably. And when he told me that, I'm like, I know exactly how you feel, son. Because my mind was in that dark place too for the whole workout. And I wanted to quit. And then some guy posted on the CrossFit's Facebook page, a guy named Rick Wilson. You don't know him, but the guy calls himself the pain train because he's so able to take on pain, you know. And he's a middle-aged guy. I know he's younger than I am, but he's an average athlete. And somebody posted on there and said, way to go, Rick. I know you really wanted to quit, but good job finishing the WOD. And he posted this. He said, want to quit doesn't even describe how bad that was for me. I have a serious mental block with long repetitive WODs, and this was torture. And I said, amen. And what that says to me is that there are just some dark places that we can get to in our mind when things get hard. And the always place of release from that in our minds is quitting. And so I want to talk to you today about finishing the WOD, about why you shouldn't give up and why you shouldn't quit in your service to God. And there's no better example of that than Job chapter 3. Because in Job chapter 3, you're reading it out of a guy who wants to quit. And I think it's an amazing thing about the Bible. It's a testament to the strength of the Bible that we get to see a man like Job, who in chapter 1 was called the most righteous man on earth, not by another man, but by God. And now let's read what the most righteous man on earth, when he was in the midst of trial, we know the trials that he suffered. We know all the stuff he's gone through by the time we get to chapter 3. Everything that he's lost. This is what he says. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. Job's in that dark place in his mind. And Job said, let the day perish on which I was born, and the night that said a man is conceived. Let that day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor let light shine upon it. Let gloom and deep darkness claim it. Let clouds dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. That night let thick darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come in the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful cry enter it. Let those who curse it, who curse the day, who are ready to rouse up Leviathan. Let the stars of its dawn be dark. Let it hope for light, but have none, nor see the eyelids of the morning. Because it did not shut the doors of my mother's womb, nor hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth, come out from my womb, from the womb and expire? Why did the knees receive me, or why the breast that I should nurse? For then I would have been lain down and been quiet. I would have slept, then I would have been at rest. You see what he's saying there, verse 13? If I'd have just died, it would have been easier. I could have just quit. It would have been over. With kings and counselors of the earth who rebuilt ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold or filled their houses with silver, or why was I not as a hidden stillborn child, as infants who never see the light? There the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary are at rest. There the prisoners are at ease together. They hear not the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there, and the slave is free from his master. Why is light given to him who is in misery, and life to the bitter in soul, who long for death, but it comes not, and dig for it more than hidden treasures, who rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave? Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, whom God has hedged in? For my sighing comes instead of my bread, and my groanings are poured out like water. For the thing that I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. That'll brighten up your Easter day, won't it? I just tell you, it's so telling to me, and why I love the book of Job so much, is that there are times where, and maybe you've experienced this, maybe you've been in that dark place where you literally just wish you'd never been born, or you wish you could die. Maybe you've never quite been there. Maybe you just thought, well, I'd just like to quit whatever's going on, quit whatever I'm doing, quit my relationship with God, then it would be better. Maybe if I just walk away from this, it would finally end, the pain would be over. Maybe instead of dying, you just want to give up. Maybe you just want to walk away from God. Maybe you just want to take a break. You just want the pain to be over. You just want to not finish the workout. You just want to not finish and have to endure the pain and have to go to that and stay in that dark place in your mind. And you know there's an option out there. You know there's a possibility. You know there's a way out, and all you have to do is quit, back away, stay away. Maybe you're just going to walk away. Maybe you'll just back off for a while. Maybe you'll just do less. Maybe you just, I'll just take a little less risk. Maybe I just won't put forth the effort. Maybe I'll just trust less. That'll ease my pain. That'll ease my frustration. That'll ease my bitterness. Job had it really bad, but that was the best of any man. He was the number one guy, and he had the number one case of suffering. Now, none of us probably have suffered like Job, but probably none of us are the man that Job was either. But you see, it doesn't matter, because whatever you're doing, whatever your level of fitness is, whatever your walk with God is, no matter how strong you are or how weak you are, we all, if we do the workout, if we serve our God, we all get to a place where we just want to quit. It's too hard. Dealing with the brethren is just too difficult. God expects too much of me. Look at what I have to give up. Look at what He's asking me to do. I just can't do it. I can't bear this every day. Why don't I just get a break from this? I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to take a few months off from God. And we fight that. Well, we say, well, you know, well, that makes sense with Job. He was undergoing such severe suffering. But there's another quitter in the Bible that we need to look at, and that's Jonah. Turn with me to Jonah, in the last chapter of Jonah, Jonah chapter 4, right before Micah, you know, sing the song, Jonah and Micah, and they hum Habakkuk. In Jonah chapter 4, we read a totally different situation. Jonah's not being, is not undergoing suffering. He's this prophet from God. We know the story of the fish swallowing Jonah and spitting him out. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh. He goes to Nineveh, and all the Ninevites repent. And what Jonah struggles with is, like we do sometimes, when God doesn't act in a way that we think God should act. And he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. He wasn't angry at himself. He wasn't really angry at the Ninevites. He was angry at God. And so sometimes when you get angry at God, and you're just frustrated with God, you know what? You just want to quit. And that's where Jonah was. In verse 2, and he prayed to the Lord and said, oh Lord, is not this exactly what I said was, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Do you think about that? You see, it's not only when we just suffered incredibly that we say, I just want to quit my service to God. I just want God to take my life. I just want it to all be over. But sometimes in our very service to God, is that we just come up against things, and sometimes what God asks us to do or what God is allowing to happen in our life, and it may not be directly related to us, it's just we get very frustrated and very put out with God because of the way He does things and the conclusions that He comes to, and that He allows some people to repent and allows some people to change, or that He punishes some people that we don't think should be punished. And we get to that place and we just say, you know what? Life's not fair. That's what Jonah came to the conclusion of. Life's not fair. It's not right. God didn't do the things I think He should do. God's not fair. And just serving God is frustrating. You know what Jonah's solution was? Just go ahead and take my life, God. I'm just quitting. I'm not finishing the workout. I'm not going to deal with this. I'm not going to deal with you, God, in the way you forgive people. And we look at that and we say, man, Jonah, how could you be so hard? But just take it to something else. Because maybe we wouldn't be frustrated with God about that, but there's something on our list that we'd be frustrated with God about. And we can get to a dark place in that area where we can say, you know what, God, if serving you means this, I tell you what, I'm just done serving you, just take my life. Or just I'll walk away. I'm just gonna take a pause in my spiritual life for a while. And that's the way we approach it. And I think sometimes our walk with God is exactly that way. Sometimes in our walk with God, we just want to quit. We just want to be done. Now, that doesn't mean, again, we won't show up to services. That doesn't mean we won't, in some way, pay homage to God. But in reality, in our life, we quit. We didn't finish the workout. We walked away from it. We wouldn't endure. We wouldn't go through the pain. We wouldn't fight through the dark place. We just want to quit and give up. In Hebrews chapter 6, and it's really the last passage we're going to look at today. In Hebrews chapter 6, this is a chapter about don't give up. You might say the whole book of Hebrews is about don't give back, don't go back to where you were. But in reality, chapter 6 is about really don't give up, don't give in. In other words, in my service to God, I go into it sometimes with this great expectation. And I come to services today and I get uplifted. I listen to the singing. I listen to the prayers. I listen to the words that Bert spoke at the Lord's Supper. I've engaged in the body and the blood of Christ. And I'm excited and I go out and I have this level of commitment. I'm going to go out this week and I'm going to do some things in service to God. And then I get on the treadmill of life and my leg hurts. And I get short of breath. And I just say, you know what? It's just hard and I just want to quit. You know what I asked myself to do this week? That's ridiculous. Most of the people at the church wouldn't do these things anyway. God didn't tell me I have to do all these things this week. God didn't tell me I've got to do this. There'll be somebody else that can do it. You know what? No reasonable human being would expect this of me. I'm just going to quit right now. And I'm not going to finish what I started out to do. I'm just going to give up. I'm going to step back. I'm going to not finish the commitment that I've made, that I've decided I could do, that I established in my mind was something that was attainable, that I needed to accomplish. But yes, it was going to be hard. But then I back away. In Hebrews chapter 6, he's just at the end of chapter 5, has just scolded them. And we got this down pretty good. And I'm not saying that's wrong, that we read this. This is where he talks about, oh, you need milk. You should have gone on from milk. You're supposed to be on meat now. You're not growing like you should, right? And we understand that. And Paul's the writer of Hebrews is very stern with him. He's very forceful about that. And we need to be that way with each other sometimes. And sometimes we need to be that way with ourselves, right? Hey, look, and sometimes when I'm CrossFitting and the wad gets hard, you know, the coach comes over to me and he says, look, Buttercup, pick up the weight. And I say, yes, sir. Because I'm just being lazy. I'm just trying to milk it for all I can. And I can do it, you know. So sometimes he gets on to me just like this, just like the writer's getting on to them. In fact, as you start chapter 6, he doesn't stop. He says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. In other words, come on, guys, let's move forward here. You're not babies anymore. You're not little kids. Let's act like men and let's move forward as we serve our God. Not having, again, a foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God, of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. This we will do if God permits. He's saying there's some basic things that you just got to move past. You got to move more than that in your service to God. You can't always say, well, you know, I don't understand that. You know, well, that's kind of hard. Well, you know, God, why does He say that? At some point, we've got to move past that. You gotta enter into the workout. And he's getting on to them because they've started it, but they're just like, well, you know what? Maybe we better go back and learn how to lift better. Maybe we go back in CrossFit, you have a class you have to go to before you start working out that teaches you all the movements. Well, maybe we just need to go back to 101 class and learn it again. And Paul said, no, you don't. You need to move forward here. You need to press on. So he's really getting on to them. And verse 4, for it is impossible. Now look what he says. It is impossible to store again to repentance those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come. If they then fall away, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm and holding them up to holding him up to contempt. You see, he says, if you quit, if you don't move forward, you just quit, you know what? He says, you're crucifying the Son of God again, and you know what? Your heart's going to be such, you're not going to be able to be renewed to repentance. You're going to lose your soul. And we know this passage from, I think, refuting that doctrine that you can't lose your soul, you can't fall away from sin. But I don't really think that's what he's talking about. He's chiding him. He's warning him. He's saying, this is serious. This is for your spiritual health. You've got to get in here and you've got to move forward. You've got to finish what you started. Move forward. He goes on, verse 7, for the land that has drunk the rain that often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those whose sake is cultivated, receiving a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed, and sin is to be burned. He says, what kind of land are you? You said you wanted God. You've shown that you're capable. You've been land that's been taking in the reins of God. But if all you bear in your life is thorns and thistles, all you do is quit and give up, then guess what? Then you're going to be the kind of land that God curses. It's going to be no value to Him at all. After all that, very serious, getting on to him. Look what he says in verse 9. Though we speak in this way, yet in your case, beloved, the way we would say it, in your case, the one I love, we feel sure of better things, things that belong to salvation. You know what he says? He says, keep going. Don't give up. I know you can do it. After he's just gotten on to him and threatened him, he offers him some hope. He says, come on, guys, you can finish it. One more rep. Come on, pick it up. Do one more set. You can make it. Don't quit now. I know your mind is in a dark place. I know it's easier to walk away. I know you're in pain. I know you hurt. Don't stop. Keep going. When Rick posted that I read about him not being able to finish the wad and that he wanted to quit and it was a serious mental block and it was torture, he added one other thing to his post and he said, had it not been for Mark, who is the coach at Blackfin, the owner, and the Blackfin crew, I would have thrown in the towel. Thanks for the motivation. That's the crazy thing. That's the other thing I love about CrossFit. It's the craziest thing you ever did. When we were doing this workout Friday afternoon, Jim was in there doing it too. And so there was, 10 or 12 of us doing it. And it was a hard workout. And in this workout, the best CrossFit athletes are going to do it in less than 10 minutes. I mean, that's going to be like the top notch. They're going to do it around that 10-minute mark. The ones that are going to, are the top 10 in the sport. Those kind of numbers. The average athlete in the gym, the people that are really good athletes, are going to do it in around 15 minutes. Well, I'll just say it took me over 20 minutes to do it. So I'm in neither one of those categories, okay? But if you think that's bad, there was a lady in there working out with us, and I've never worked out with her before. Her name's Jessie. And you know how long it took her to do it? 45 minutes. And so I was dead after doing mine after 20 minutes, and I laid around for 5 minutes or so getting my life back in me. I finally got the strength and the courage to stand back up. And I see she's over there, and she's only about 3/4 of the way through the workout. Jim was done. He was sitting over there and some of the other guys. And you know what everybody did, and this happens every workout at a CrossFit gym, is we all gathered around her. And I didn't even know her name tonight. So I heard somebody say, come on, Jessie. And we all gathered around her. And you know what we said? Come on, Jessie. Pick it up. One more rep, Jessie. Two more rounds, Jessie. You can do it. Come on. Pick up the weight, Jessie. Go down. Breathe a minute and get back on the floor. Do another burpee, Jessie. And before you know it, there was 10 or 12 people. I don't know how many were in there. And everybody was standing around because she was the only one still working out. And it was like the 30-minute mark. She had 15 more minutes to go. And everybody's just clapping for her. We were getting her bar fixed for her. We were counting the reps for her. Come on, Jessie. You can do it. Come on. Don't quit. You got this. Now, what do you think in her mind was saying? Why am I doing this? I'm an idiot. Just what I said. But you don't quit the wad. You finish the workout no matter what. That's the creed. And it's exactly what Paul's saying. Hey, look, work. You need to get in here and you need to train. You need to get stronger. But in the midst of the workout, in the midst of doing it, Paul says, come on, Daryl. Don't quit now. Serve me today. One more day, Daryl. Do what you need to do. Don't give up. I know you want to back away. I know you want to quit. I know you want to take some time off from God. Don't do it. Remember what you did. Remember what you did this for. Remember how much you cared about me. Remember what I've done for you. Remember what we just remembered. The hinge pin. And he says, that's exactly what he says. Beloved, they don't tell you that in a CrossFit gym. We love you. Pick up the bar. But here's how we tell each other. I love you. Don't stop. The writer of Hebrews says, beloved, I'm sure of better things for you. I know you can finish this. Things that are going to lead not to you just getting through this next rep. Things are going to lead to your salvation. Look what he has to say, verse 10. For God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love that you showed for His sake in serving the saints as you still do. You know what he says? Remember all you've done so far. That's the thing with Jesse. She'd already made it through 3/4 of the workout. Remember, you're already through the worst of it. Remember what you've already endured. Remember the good that you've done. Don't give up now. Don't quit. That's exactly what he tells them. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the same full assurance of hope until the end. I promise you, if you don't quit, you'll make it till the end. There's a promise here from God. There's an assurance. So that you may not be sluggish, lazy, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Why do they inherit the promises? Because when you start the WAD, you finish the WAD. When we start our service to God, we finish our service to God. We're all in this together. We all want to finish. We all have got to learn to encourage each other. Pick up the bar. One more rep. Don't quit, Jim. One more rep. Come on, Kelly. I know raising 4 kids is hard. I know you feel like, what's the point in coming in here on Sunday? I don't get anything out of it anyway. Come on, Kelly. Show up one more Sunday. Finish the WAD, Kelly. Do one more rep. You can make it, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do to each other? Come on, Robert. I know life after prison is hard. I know you're ashamed of things you've done in your past. Come on, Robert. Finish the WAD. Don't quit now. You can make it. One more rep, Robert. Serve God one more day. Isn't that what the Hebrew writer's telling us? We don't stop. We don't quit, y'all. We're in this together. Why don't we encourage each other more that way? It's so easy to be critical of each other. It's so easy to see we're deficient. And sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need to be told, hey, it's time to move forward. You need to learn a little more. You need to grow a little more. But you know what? In the midst of my serving God, sometimes I need to hear, do it one more time. Don't quit now. Come on, LJ. I know it's hard. You haven't been at a job in months. I know your faith gets tried at times. Come on, brother. Don't quit now. One more rep, man. One more rep. Serve God one more day. You can make it. Come on, Rebecca. Support him. Come on. Stick it out. Be there for your kids. Don't give up on God. He's not abandoning you. He's going to get you through this. Come on. You can make it. Come on, Edna. I know it's hard. You can't drive yourself anymore. Your body's letting you down. Come on, Edna. Don't quit now. You've made it to the end of the WAD. You can finish this race, Edna. Come on. Don't quit. I know it's hard. I know it hurts. Keep going. Finish strong, Edna. One more day. Just serve God today. One more rep. Come on, Ann. I know how you've suffered terrible losses in your family over the last year. I know every day it hurts. I know it's hard. You can do it. Keep going. One more good deed, Ann. One more act of service. Please. One more rep. Finish the WAD. We need you. Finish the WAD. Come on, Jonathan. I know it's hard. Come on, Alex. It's not easy being a teenager and serving God. It's not easy going to school or around your friends and feeling like you're different. It's not easy. It's not easy making choices that are going to make you stand out and be different than everybody else. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you feel like you're out of place. You can do it. Fight through it. One more rep, guys. One more day. Serve God faithfully. Make your parents proud. Don't give up. And I guess I could just go around and do that with everybody because every one of you deserve it. Come on, Billy. Come on, Terrell. Come on, Kathy. One more rep. We don't quit. We don't quit on each other. We don't quit on God. We're going to do this. Because He's confident of things about us. He's writing this to us. I know you can do it. Yeah, it's hard. Job made it. He wanted to quit, and sometimes we do. But part of the strength we have is each other. And we need somebody to say, "Beloved, I love you. You can make it. Get up. Don't give up. Don't lose everything that you've worked so hard for." In verse 13, he keeps on, because he keeps on this encouragement. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely I will bless you and multiply you." And thus Abraham, having waited patiently, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is a final for confirmation. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have fled for refuge, might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. God is faithful. We flee to Him in encouragement. When it gets hard, we want to quit. We remember Abraham. And Abraham's shouting down to us from heaven. And Abraham's saying, "One more rep, Daryl. Don't quit. Finish. Believe in the promises of God." Here He is. He's guaranteed it with an oath. God did. God swore by Himself that if we'll just finish the workout, He will deliver us. He will reward us. He will give us everything we need, everything our heart's desires. But if you quit the wad, then we'll get none of that. And we'll have done all the work we've already done, all the pain we've already suffered, for nothing. And when you get in that dark place, there's got to be some hope. There's got to be finally something you grab onto in your mind and you said, "This is worth it. God is faithful. I'm going to run to Him for encouragement and hold fast to the hope set before us." Verse 19, "We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain where no one's ever been." No Jew had ever looked behind the curtain. But we have a hope back there, and it's an anchor. And when we want to quit, you know what we do? We grab that anchor. And we say, "I'm not quitting, I'm holding on. I'm not giving up." Where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I'll finish with this last verse. It's nice to see when somebody finishes the wad. When Jesse laid there on the ground for 20 minutes afterward trying to catch her breath, you know what? She was glad she finished. Because she can say, "You know what? I did that workout. I finished it. Yeah, it took me 45 minutes. And maybe I had to scale it. But I finished it." That's what Paul said. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul said, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. And the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing." Paul said, "I finished the wad. I've done it. And now I get the reward. We are all going to get to that place one day. And we're all going to get to say, I finally finished the WOD. I didn't quit. I didn't give up even when it was hard. And I showed through my perseverance and my dedication and me enduring the pain. I showed my children. I showed the brethren. I showed everyone that it can be done. When you walk that way, whether it takes you 45 minutes to complete it or you do it in 10 minutes, you know what you show us all? You can do it. It's encouraging when anybody finishes the workout. If you're subject to the gospel today, we have a chance now for you to obey Christ and serve Him faithfully the rest of your life. If you want to do that now, we'll come forward as we stand and sing.
Great Heavenly Father, thank You for being our God. And Heavenly Father, thank You for the strength and power that You give us by listening to You, by reading Your words, by hearing Your message preached. Heavenly Father, it is so easy to give up. It is so easy to say, I don't have a plan. It is so easy to say, I don't know how. And Heavenly Father, we beg You to please take away our silly fears, our fake arguments, and make us strong as we are supposed to be, as Your glorified children, as ambassadors for Christ. Help us to open up our mind, our heart, and our mouth. Let us proclaim Jesus. Heavenly Father, we owe You that important part of our life because You've blessed us tremendously. You've given us family. You've given us children. You've given us friends. You've given us brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. But most of all, You've given us Your family to be called Your children. Have mercy on our souls. Forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.